God, we are destined to win. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. And I'm glad you could join us once again this week as we get into the Word of God with some very important things that I think will be a blessing to you. And, you know, there's just so many good things happening. I trust you've had an excellent Thanksgiving holiday. And I know, personally, I have a lot of things to be thankful for, the blessings of God. Matter of fact, the, capital T, blessing, capital B, is one of the things that we need to be very thankful for. It all started in the Garden of Eden when God told Adam and Eve there to be fruitful and to multiply and to replenish the earth. The fruitfulness there that he was talking about and multiplying is a multiplied blessing. This is a blessing that is exponential in its power, in its ability, in its scope. And so the blessing is something that we need to live in. And beyond that, we have a better covenant, a new covenant, a better covenant established upon better promises. And this new covenant, based on what Jesus did for us, is even beyond the power of the original blessing. Now we have even more blessing to be added to that covenant. It is an addition and an enhancement. Amen. Praise the Lord. To the original covenant that God had with mankind. And I tell you what, praise God, this is just a time we need to set aside. Now, Thanksgiving was a few days ago as I record this, but we should be living in a time of thankfulness, in an attitude of gratefulness for what God has done for us. Now, we're approaching, as I've been talking about toward the end of this year, a time that a lot of people view as the battle lines being drawn between the informational church and the revelational church. And I am firmly in the revelational church, believing for increased revelation knowledge, increased interest and tie-in into the things of the Spirit, and to dedication to the Word of God. So the Word and the Spirit is the direction that we in the revelational churches are going, whereas the informational churches are, you know, seeker-friendly and gooey, greasy grace and just, you know, you can do whatever you want to do and you'll be blessed. And that whole attitude, which is incorrect, that is not scriptural. And that's where this, what some people are calling a dividing line or a battle line, is being drawn. Now, I really like to look at it as a positive. I think God is preparing us as a church to get into what he's prepared for us, which is good, which is blessing. Amen. So I look at it as a time of preparation, a time of dedication to the things of God. And we're going to see that as we get into the scripture today. So I'm going to go to my electronic Bible, the eSword, which is available at eSword.net. You can get this free electronic Bible. And if you have a PC, I'd encourage you to get it because it is a blessing. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to talk about some things from Ephesians chapter 4 here. In terms of attitude, we're talking about this time of decision we have coming up at the end of this year. We're talking about preparation and dedication to the move of the Lord that's coming. And these are attitudes that we need to have that will prepare us for this. And this is particularly in the area of finances. I was listening to a minister recently talk about financial issues in the body of Christ, particularly compared to what the world is experiencing right now. You know, they're calling this the Great Recession. They're talking about all kinds of troubles financially in the world system. And people are just preoccupied with finances. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians who are Word of Faith believers have become preoccupied with finances in a way that is not scriptural. They think they're headed in a scriptural direction, and really they're not. And the reason is they look at, I'm talking about Word of Faith believers now, look at prosperity as an easy out. I don't have to work anymore. I'm just going to believe God. I don't have to labor anymore. I'm just going to rely on God meet my needs, and that's just, I can just sit at home, lay down, and take it easy. And they think that is prosperity. That is not God's prosperity. We're going to see that plainly from the Scripture. So stick with me, because I think you're going to see something really important here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 20. Let's start in verse 20. Ephesians 4:20. You have not so learned Christ, if so you have heard him, Christ, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning... Now, look at this. Look at the action here. This is action. This is not passiveness. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and that ye put on the new man. Verse 24. I'm kind of skipping a scripture that we're going to read here in a minute, but I want to make this point. Ye put off the old man, ye put on the new man. Who's doing the putting on and the putting off? Is it God? No. Is it the Holy Ghost? No. Is it your pastor? No. Other than for himself. It's ye. You're the one to put off the old man. You're the one to put on the new man. The pastor puts on his new man and puts off his old man. Amen? See what I'm saying? It is action that you do based on your commitment to the Lord. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let's keep reading, and I think you'll see it. You put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And this is the scripture that I kind of skipped over when I was talking about putting on and putting off, because they're in those two scriptures with this one in the middle. This is sandwiched right in the middle. That ye be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We're going to come right back to that. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now notice this new man, which must be available to put on, because it says you put it on. This new man is created in righteousness, that's right standing with God, and holiness, which means to be separated and set apart unto holy things. Amen. So righteousness and true holiness. Now the greasy grace crowd, you know, I like to call it that, greasy grace crowd, they seem to have laid aside righteousness and true holiness. Well, you can do whatever you want to do. You can live however you want to live. Enjoy yourself, enjoy life, because whatever you do doesn't matter. We're just covered by grace, and then you can do whatever you want to do. Well, now, wait a minute. If I can do whatever I want to do, which they seem to imply means sin, and I don't have to have any effort whatsoever, then what's this thing about me putting something off and me putting something on? Seems like that's effort. Well, it is. It is. See, a lot of the greasy grace crowd, I keep coming back to that phrase, they have the attitude, well, we're in the rest and we don't have to do anything anymore. Well, I like what my pastor Ed Taylor said recently. Pastor Ed is pastor of Faith and Victory Church, where I'm a member. And Pastor Ed said, entering into the rest of God doesn't mean you quit doing things. It means you quit doing things in your own power and ability. I rest from my own efforts and my own works. It doesn't mean I enter into a state of not doing anything. What I do is what God wants me to do. I do what He requires of me to do. And one of the things He requires of me to do is put off the old man with its lusts. See, the greasy grace crowd again, they want to do things they want to do, meaning after their own lust. I've got a good job. I'm just going to enjoy my job, buy my fancy car and my fancy house, and I'm going to do whatever I want to do, and I don't care about the things of God. I don't have to go to church. That's a law telling me I got to go to church. Well, literally what they're saying is I want to just exercise my right to do whatever I want to. Well, you know what Paul said? He said, don't let your liberty be an occasion to the flesh. And the Greasy Grace crowd is all about flesh. They want to do what they want to do in their flesh. Well, that's not what God wants you to do. He wants you to lay aside the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and he wants you to put on the new man, which is in righteousness and true holiness. Righteousness and true holiness. That's being set aside and set apart unto God. That means you take his lordship seriously and you live the kind of life God wants you to live. Amen. But Dr. Bill, don't I get to enjoy all my stuff? You can enjoy your stuff, just don't let the stuff have you. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what you do first. And then all these things will be added unto you. But if you're after the things, you're not after the kingdom and the righteousness of God. But if you are after the kingdom and the righteousness of God, all these things will be added. And he goes on to say, he's given you all things richly to enjoy. He doesn't mind you enjoying the things, but your attitude has to be right. It has to be centered on the kingdom. It has to be centered on the things of God. It has to be directed toward spiritual things. And if it's not, you're going to get off, and you're going to rely on your flesh. You're going to rely on your mind, and they're going to take you off in a direction that is not after righteousness and true holiness. That's why, if you'll forgive me from saying it this way, you got to stay on top of the things of God. You see what I'm saying? You got to stay on top of your spiritual life, because it's easy to get pulled off and distracted by things, both positively and negatively. You can get distracted because, how am I going to meet my car payment? See, that's getting distracted by things. Or you may say, I got this really nice, cool speedboat. I'm going to go down the lake, and I'm just going to ride my boat on Sunday morning. I don't care about church. That's being concerned about things, things-oriented. And when you're things-oriented, you're not Holy Ghost-oriented. You're not Word of God-oriented. You're not righteousness and kingdom of God-oriented. Now, there's nothing wrong with you enjoying your boat. Go out on a Saturday and enjoy that boat and have fun. But then put it on the trailer, pull it out of the water, go to church on Sunday. Oh, Brother Bill, you're trying to put me under law, 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 law. Forget that attitude. That's a get out of doing what God wants me to do attitude. Did you hear me? Write that one down. I don't want a get out of what God wants me to do attitude. Put that on your refrigerator. Amen? Because that attitude is the greasy grace attitude. That's what this crowd is preaching these days. The informational church, as Randy Greer calls it, is the seeker-friendly, you can do what you want to do, you don't have to be serious about the things of God crowd. And that's the separation that's coming the end of this year, is that kind of attitude from the body of Christ being serious and sincere and dedicated to the Word of God and the things of God and the Spirit of God. Amen? And that's what we need to be involved in. Not things, although you can enjoy the things. I want to keep reminding you of that. You can enjoy your things, but your attitude has to be kingdom of God directed. Amen? All right, let's go back to what we were reading here. Let's pick up with verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, after which God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Now, these are all things that he's telling us about how to live and how to think and how to be motivated as believers. And I like this. He says, be ye angry and sin not. But you know, it's okay to be angry as long as you're angry at the right things. As long as you're angry about the right things, you can be angry at sin. Now, you're not angry at the sinner. We love the sinner. But you can be angry at the sin that's trying to drag that sinner down into the mire and the pit of Satan's goals for their life. God has a destiny. We talk about being destined to win. God has a destiny for everybody, and it's good. His thoughts toward us are good, praise the Lord. He has an excellent future prepared for us. But we don't get to that excellent future and those blessings by playing in the mud, in the miry pit of sin and degradation and destruction and the things orientation. If we get away from that and get interested in the things of God, dedicated to the things of God, all the things will be added to us. We'll get to enjoy them. But our attitude has to stay focused like a laser beam on the things of God. Okay? Now, notice what it says. Let him that stole steal no more. I skipped a scripture that's important. I don't want to do that. Let's back up just a bit. Putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for remembers one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. So don't sin with your anger. Be angry at the things you should be angry at, not the things that are... Do you know, being angry at things when you sin, it's always me-oriented. It comes from that me attitude. They did something to me. Look what they did to me. See, that attitude is where you are angry and you sin. Well, if you do anger and are angry and sin, it says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Within the same day, make sure you get it cleared out of you. Okay? That's good advice. And here's where I wanted to go, verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Now, the Amplified is very interesting here. It says, don't give the devil an opportunity. Satan is looking for opportunities in your life. He's looking for open doors. We got to keep the doors closed to him and to his traps that he wants to set in front of you. How do you do that? You close those doors of opportunity. And a lot of those doors of opportunity are me orientation, lust of other things, deceitfulness of riches. All of those things draw you into opportunities Satan has to get into your life and mess things up. Okay? So what do? You close those doors. You block those opportunities. You don't give him place in your life. And that means you get out of the greasy grace, I can do anything I want to attitude, and get into the I'm going to do what God wants me to do attitude. Amen? So don't give him place. Don't give him opportunity. Verse 28, that's where I've been headed. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. What? Yeah, Christian, believer, labor. But Dr. Bill, it says to enter into rest, we cease from our labors. Yeah, you cease from your labors to derive a spiritual standing with God. You cease from your labors to attempt to be spiritual. But you do labor. It says here, let him labor. Well, what kind of labor is it talking about here? Well, it'll be clear if we keep reading. Let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. Well, what do you mean, labor, working with your hands? That means go to work. Get a job. Oh, Dr. Bill, I'm a faith man. I stay at home and just pray. That's not scriptural. Here, the scripture is telling us, Paul is telling us in the book of Ephesians, you need to go to work, and you need to labor with your hands. But Dr. Bill, I thought we weren't supposed to work to make a living. No, you don't work to make a living. You work to have a giving. You can write that one down, put it on your refrigerator too. You work to have, that's what it says, let's read it. Work with his hands the thing which is good, that you may have to give to him that needeth. You work and are paid to have a giving, to have seed to sow. And when you sow that seed, you're a tither, you're a giver, then the financial blessing will come to you. She noticed that the scripture says that God gives you the ability to get wealth, that you may establish his covenant upon the earth. I'm going to say something here that's really critical, really important. You are a vital part of God's plan to establish his covenant in the earth. Did you catch that? Put your catchers out, as Brother Copeland used to say. Put your catchers out and listen to this. You are a vital part of God's plan to establish his covenant in the earth. He gives you the ability to work and to get wealth that you may have to give into the gospel to meet the needs of people, spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially. You are a critical part. And if you just go home and lay down and quit working, you don't have the seed to sow. You don't have the finances to give so that the covenant will be established on the earth and the system falls down. You need to work. Now, God will get you a good job. He will bless you in that job. You will not have to work by the sweat of your brow, meaning a job you don't like. This is the way I like to put it. You don't have to work at a job you don't like. You can find a job that you love to do. And you can get abundantly financially blessed in that job to have the seed to plant so that the harvest comes and God blesses you as a tither and a giver. But if you're not working, there's no income to tithe on. You thought about that? If you're not working, there's no income to tithe on. Now let's go to our next scripture. Some of the wheels are turning in your head. I can hear them turning. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 8. Let's start there. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail day and night, that we may not be chargeable to any of you. What he's saying here is to the Thessalonians, we, meaning our team, our ministry team, including Paul, when we came to Thessalonica, we didn't sponge off you guys. We worked our regular day jobs. Now, Paul's day in and day out job was basically a tent maker, and he worked with his hands. And so, he's basically saying, we came and we worked. We did what we needed to do to meet our own personal needs, so you didn't have to. But let's look at it here. I don't want to get too far away from my point. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power or ability, but we make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. You don't work, you don't eat. He said, but Dr. Bill, that's hard. Yeah, but it's the attitude you need to have. Don't quit working with your hands. Don't quit your day job, as they say. But it should be a job you like, and it should be a job that's blessing, and it should be a job that gives you seed to sow and income to tithe on. Amen. But if you don't work, you don't eat. Well, now, Dr. Bill, this is not the word of faith prosperity message that I've heard. Well, then you've been listening to the wrong message. This is just as scriptural as anything concerning prosperity you have ever heard taught. I guarantee it. You need to hear that God wants you to work with your hands and do a job so that you'll have to give to those who need. See, this is the, let's go back to that greasy grace crowd again that wants it all handed to them on a silver platter and they don't have to do anything. That is the pervasive attitude in what has become in our political system a welfare state. I'm just going to sit at home and the government's going to pay my, take care of my needs and I don't have to do anything. That attitude is part of the attitude in the church that's getting us down the wrong road. We need to have a good work ethic. We need to work with our hands. We need to do that in order to have to give to those who need. We need to work so that we can eat. But the key is to have resource to then sow and let the spiritual system work the way it should. Now, a lot of you are kind of going, I don't know about this, Dr. Bill. This is not what I have heard before. Well, this is why you need to hear this. You need to work with your hands the thing that is needful so that you'll have the wherewithal to do what God wants you to do. Amen? We're just about out of time. We're going to have to stop right here. We may have to pick up with this next time. We'll see how the Lord leads us in that area. But for right now, you can write me here at Word of Faith Ministries. Our address, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213, which is 5213, High Point, North Carolina. The zip code 27262. And as always, if you want to write me and it come to me a little quicker, you can send me an email. And that email is drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WFM.org. Meditate on these things. Pray about these things. Let it minister to you. And remember, until next time, to fulfill the Word of God.